You're listening to the Unstoppable Business Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Lee. Rebecca, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast today.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. So when people ask you, what do you do? How do you answer that?
I would say that my first answer is I'm in internet marketing. And if they ask for more information, then I say that I'm an SEO consultant, which usually confuses them. So the way that I end up having to describe it to people who are not in marketing or, you know, in online businesses is I know how to help businesses manipulate Google in a safe and natural way.
Ooh, sounds awesome. All right, Rebecca. So I guess, can you take us back to the day when it all began for you? Like, when did you start on this journey of internet marketing?
So I call myself kind of an accidental entrepreneur because I did not grow up with, you know, high aspirations for anything business related. You know, I was working in a job that I loved for a really long time, and it became a very unhealthy environment after, like, you know, 10 years of being with a company. And it was the middle of the recession in 2009. I lived in Michigan. My husband worked for automotive. We didn't know if he was going to have a job the next day, and I needed to depart from my company, and there were just no jobs. So I really just became an entrepreneur and started as a freelancer and then moved into running an agency, which eventually led me over to, like, SEO courses and podcasts. And that was kind of how my journey played out.
I see. So when you were in that job, you said you were in sort of like an unhealthy environment. What does that mean?
So it was a really small company, and I was their VP of marketing, and it was family owned, and the organization staffing had shifted. And it just was a really, really good company. But one of the people who now had power of authority did not truly enjoy working with women. I was constantly reminded of it, and I just didn't have a lot of options. I mean, things weren't going to change. And I had no intentions of, creating havoc or even trying to, like, sue the company or anything like that, because I loved it. You know, I loved the people that were there. They were my work family for 10 years. So I just exited.
I see. Okay. So, Rebecca, was this something that you chose early on in your career? Like, you said you worked 10 years in this company. Right out of college, was this, like, you knew that you were going to go to, like, a 9-to-5 sort of job?
So growing up, I was really poor. I was actually a ward of the state of Michigan, and I lived in northern Michigan. And, you know, for me, a job was like the end all. I didn't care what I was doing. The fact that I actually had health insurance and I could afford an apartment and food was, like, amazing. And so I was very content working for other people until, you know, I reached this point. And this was, you know, I graduated college in 94. And I started the agency in 2009. So I had, you know, different jobs. I was an operations manager. I was a sales manager at a Fortune 50 company. And then I was a VP of marketing for this small software company. So, you know, I had my career journey, and it was all wonderful to me. So, you know, I had no intentions of leaving until the opportunity forced its arrival. And I ended up going into freelance and becoming an entrepreneur.
Gotcha. So when you first was a freelancer, what kind of gave you that idea? And, like, did you want to do it for the freedom, or did you sort of just have to pay the bills?
I just had to pay the bills. So I was doing a lot of SEO for the company that I worked for. We, lived off of the leads. Once I figured out SEO, I've been doing it for 15 years, but once I figured it out, it became our main lead source, and it was driving like 90% of our sales. And when I had to exit, I'm like, well, what am I going to do? You know, because there were no jobs available. And I thought, well, I know SEO really well. I had, you know, performed very well as I learned it and executed it for the company. I was competing against, like, SAP and Oracle and Microsoft, and I could get on page one ahead of them. Wow. So, and all legit, yeah. You know, it was all completely white hat SEO. And I was like, well, if I can do it for somebody else, I can do it, for anybody. And so that's what I just started with consulting, and my first clients came from LinkedIn, through people who knew me at the job I had just left and saw that I was independent and, immediately were like, "Hey, can you do that for us?" And I said, "Sure, here's my rate." And they said, "Okay." And they put me on contract. So it's just kind of like how it started. I was really lucky. I mean, super lucky.
I see. And did it sort of snowball from there?
It did because, I started doing SEO consulting, and then I realized people actually didn't have access to their own website, so you really couldn't do a lot of SEO. So then I, started to get deeper into WordPress, and we started to build websites out for people, and I had limited coding skills. So then I started to hire people, and then all of a sudden I had this agency. And at one point, not only were we doing custom website designs for universities and credit unions and, things like that, I also had a stock theme store for WordPress for the Genesis framework. I was the biggest independent theme store for that at one time. And at that point I realized, oh my gosh, now I have this agency, and this is like way outside of what I had ever expected or planned for. So it did snowball without question, to the point that I realized the snowball wasn't really making me happy. And I wanted to kind of scale things back and, do more of what I loved, which was spending time with clients, as opposed to, running receivables and payables and taxes and things like that.
I see. So when did you come to that realization, and how did you fix it?
I would say it was about 3 years ago I started to really become kind of stagnant and unhappy with running the agency, and I started to scale things back. I sold off the theme store to Nine Seeds, which was a friend of mine and who was interested in, taking that on, that was a great first move. I started to scale back the number of projects we had and the team members that we had. And then I started to do less and less builds and more SEO activity, because that was really where I was, finding that I enjoyed my day because I liked working with clients. I also, though, loved creating things, like creating the podcast or creating the online courses, or I also had, on-site SEO boot camps that I did, and people came from across the country to come to those. It was all of those kind of creations and really, that education that I truly loved. That was a progression, but it was just kind of really trying to, look internal and say, okay, what is working, what isn't working, and then making some swift moves to correct what was wrong.
Gotcha, I see. So when did that happen? Like, when did you start creating an online course, and when did you create the podcast?
A couple of years ago. So, and the online course, I'd love to say was my idea, but it was not. I think I was at Cabo Press, which is a very small conference in Cabo. And you're basically, a lot of the times you're floating in a pool with other business, people, and just kind of having open dialogue. And it was Corey Miller's idea, which was a good friend of mine that I had just really started to become friends with. And he's like, "You have all of this information in your head about SEO." He's like, "People need this information, and there's only so many services you can do." He's like, "You should create an online course." And I was like, "Oh no, I can't do that." And he's like, "Oh yes, you can." And I'm like, "No, I don't know enough." He's like, "No, really, you do." So I started to create, I started like in, I think the beginning of November, and I launched it, I believe, in the end of December. So it was about a 30 to 45 day launch period, ramp up period for launch. And I launched with an 8-hour SEO course.
Are you an expert or course creator trying to monetize your online course? Well, use our one-page template to get more paying students to your online course without marketing overwhelm or sleazy sales tactics. You can download this for free at unstoppablebusiness.com. Now, back to the show. You created all this content and you launched within about 30, 40 days?
Well, and doing client work and running the agency at the same time. But because I had been doing blog posts and webinars and, WordCamp presentations in person, I had a ton of information that I just needed to bring together and then put it into the form of a course. And then I filled in the pieces. So, like, my first step was making an outline, like, really, what did I want to take people through? And it was really the SEO process I had been doing for the last 15 years. And then once I had that outline, because it was, a process I knew really well, I started to kind of create a content library of where could I pull things from? Like what assets did I already have that would fit in to create the bulk of that core content? And then I would update all of those items, and then I started filling in the pieces. And before I knew it, I had this full course.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. During this time when you were creating this course and you were launching, what were some of the biggest challenges that you had to face?
I think the biggest thing was just like the technology. What was I going to use? How was I going to roll it out? I mean, thankful for me, I'm in Michigan. The developer of LearnDash, which is an LMS plugin for WordPress, is based in Michigan. He was with me at a WordCamp. And I remember looking at Justin going, "Hey, Justin, I was thinking about doing this. What do you think?" And he was like, "Oh my gosh, you should totally do this." And I was like, "Well, would LearnDash fit the, be a good fit?" He's like, "Absolutely." And he's like, kind of took a like 15, 20 minutes and just kind of talked me through the process. And that gave me a big leap because, not only did I have a solution, I had someone to talk through with it that actually developed that solution. I also had that comfort level of knowing he had my back if I got myself in trouble, but right before launch, I was like, "Justin, I'm not quite sure what I'm doing wrong. Things aren't connecting." And he talked me through it and I could launch. So definitely very thankful for that little nudge and push along the way.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. It seems like you were in a situation that not a lot of people could be in.
Well, the wonderful thing about the WordPress community is there's a lot of support for it and people are very giving of their time. And most of the time, if you just reach out, you get a good response back from people.
Gotcha. Okay. So what happened after the launch?
I used my mailing list that I had, which was quite a few thousand people. And I was also working with iThemes at the time and doing some free webinars for them. And they would, through the webinars, put like my course in the sidebar and say, "Hey, I had this course if people wanted it." In the first month, I will be honest, I think I made like $10,000 off of course sales. Not every month was that, right? And it doesn't, you get that your initial base to purchase, but I was really thrilled with that launch because it really proved that it was something viable.
That's awesome. Wow. So how did you continue selling this course after that?
Continued through webinars, like through partners like iThemes, really marketing to somebody else's audience. I created a podcast called SEObits.fm. So I would, just have that as available in the sidebar or in the show notes. And, sometimes I'd mention it in the show. I have a private Facebook group called SEO Launchpad. While I don't push the course in there, people do go to research me and then they will find my RebeccaGill.com website and links to the course. And, it was kind of through that. I would do free, presentations at WordCamps. That was also a good revenue source because, again, you're not pushing your products, but people want to find out, where they can learn more about you. And then, that course website would be listed in those assets. I think between all of those is really, how it kind of played out. So just to recap that for your audience. So it was marketing to somebody else's audience, like partnering with iThemes. My own podcast, my private Facebook group, and then speaking at conferences like WordCamps, and then of course my own mailing list.
Wow. I mean, from an outsider perspective, it seems like you're doing a ton of things, right? Are you a one-person team? Do you have a lot of team members helping you with this?
I do not. Now, at this point, we do design and development still and website maintenance, but when it comes to the SEO, I do all of the SEO and any marketing myself.
Wow. So what's the 80-20 for you? Is it being focused? Is it having a schedule? Like, what exactly do you do to get this sort of result?
For me, I use a lot of to-do lists. I'm an avid Basecamp user, and I've used it for probably 9 years. Everything that I do has a Basecamp project and list of to-dos. In fact, I'm working on a side project with somebody. And as we roll it out, I just created a Basecamp project for us. And this morning we just went through our to-do list. So that's really how I function and how I think. And it's just making sure that I block time, so I do, Alec, clients always come first. I fill up my calendar with block time for my clients. And then whatever's left, I block it. And I always work 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Wow. I see. That's awesome.
Yeah, I may be a freelancer, but I don't, you know, I may have freelance opportunities, but I don't kind of, you know, take days off very often. I'm pretty much at my desk.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Rebecca, on your journey of growth, while all this is happening, you're building this empire. Like, if you could have a magic wand and get one wish about anything during that time, what would that wish be for you?
Oh, you know, I hate to admit this, but it would be to win the lottery so I could go head deep into like specific projects. There's two projects that I'm working on, and I wish I could like dedicate all my time to them. And that would be what it is. But I know that's not, you know, reality. You have to actually have money coming in to be able to help fund living and then fund some of these other projects.
Absolutely. So, what are those two projects for you?
One is actually an alpaca association for Michigan, and the other one I can't announce yet.
Gotcha.
Still in the
Okay.
works.
Okay. So, what are you working on right now that's most important to you at the moment?
Really, it would be client work. You know, I mean, first and foremost, if someone puts their faith in me to have me work on their SEO, they take priority and they take my attention, you know, and they get my thought process. And what's left over gets to go to these side projects like the Alpaca Association or my own alpaca farm that I have, you know, that kind of thing. But clients always have to come first.
Gotcha. Can you kind of go deeper into the alpaca farm? Like, when did that start for you?
So it's funny because it's really an offset. I've had clients, SEO clients, call it the analog version of me. You know, they're like, we get the digital version of you, but not quite understanding this analog version. So a couple of years ago, my husband and I decided that we were going to sell off virtually everything that we had. We lived outside the state or the city of Detroit in a suburb, and we had a cabin, and we sold off the cabin, the boats, the main house. My husband retired and we moved to the other side of the state and north, and we started this alpaca farm, built a custom house and a big barn. And in January, we brought home our first five alpacas, and now we're up to 19.
Wow, that's very interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely not typical for my, you know, for the industry that I'm in, but you know, it creates some really good balance. And you know, everyone needs a hobby, and I'm not really good with hobbies because I tend to over-focus on work and work too much. So the love of I have for the alpacas and for the industry definitely helps provide balance for me.
Gotcha. And would you say your agency and your courses, helped you get to this place?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we could not have moved to, you know, we live in outside of Traverse City, Michigan, which is in the northern part of Michigan. There's not a lot of employers up here because it's a lot of tourism. There's no way I could make this move and my husband could retire if I didn't have an established business. I didn't have, you know, the courses and the podcast and these virtual clients, you know, all over the country. We just wouldn't be able to do it. So I feel very fortunate that my digital life has allowed me to live where I want to and how I want to in my analog life.
Gotcha. So, what's the vision for you 5 to 10 years from now? Is it developing this analog life a little bit more, or is it more towards the agency?
I would tell you it's both. You know, I can't ever just do analog, right? I would always have to have digital, but I probably would have a little bit less digital and a little bit more analog, so I have more balance. But I think both of them are definitely a passion for, you know, passion for me, and I will probably always have both in my life.
Gotcha. Okay. So, is there anything else that you'd like to say to our audience out there listening?
I would tell you, take chances. I would never be where I'm at today if I didn't take some chances, and that means like sometimes really big pivots in your life. I've had very large pivots throughout my life. Not a ton of them, but they've definitely been major pivots, and they've afforded me a change that was needed and one that took me into a really good direction. And I know that they can be scary and they can be uncomfortable and you know, to completely freak people out, but I think through the best, you know, I think at least for me, I've gained the most through the most scary pivots.